Accession number 12767, reel 1.
Tiamutu in New Zealand.
All right, Mr. Hislop, could I ask you first your full name?
Yes, Robert Henry Hislop.
And where were you born?
Yes, I was born in Dover Castle, Kent.
Oh.
On the strength of the army.
Yes. And can I ask you when about that was?
Yes, that was on the 21st of March, 1913.
Right.
Good Friday.
Okay. So, I understand your family had a military tradition.
The whole family, yeah.
Okay. And so, you came out, to New Zealand?
That October, I landed in New Zealand, October the 21st, 1922.
Yes. This is with your family?
Yes.
Okay.
I was only a boy.
Yeah. And you, after doing various jobs here, you decided that you'd join the army?
No, that's not quite right.
Right.
From school,
yeah.
On the 21st of March, 1928, I joined the New Zealand Division of the Royal Navy. After the Napier earthquake in 1931,
yes.
1932, February, that was after trouble we had up in Samoa against Tamasisi, I left the Navy.
I see.
I was still a boy, and I went home to England. I wanted to go and join the regiment I was born in, actually, which was the Lancashire Fusiliers.
Yeah.
I landed in England on June the 14th, 1932, and enlisted on June the 15th, 1932. But as I didn't like the trousers that the infantry wore, I joined the artillery.
Ah. And this was the Royal Horse Artillery.
June the 15th, 1932.
You've got a good memory for dates.
I know, I've got those dates.
Right, okay, so you joined the artillery, and where were you?
Well, originally, after I finished my initial training at Woolwich,
yeah.
I was posted to Sir John's Wood, Royal Horse Artillery, F Battery.
Oh, that was a nice posting.
I did four military drives at the Olympia.
Oh.
I was the wheel driver on the funeral of King George the V when we took his corpse from King's Cross to Westminster to lay him in state.
Right.
And on the King George the V Jubilee, I was the lead driver of the same team.
Right.
And straight after, it was just after his funeral, yes, I went out to India and was posted to Peshawar on the northwest frontier.
Which unit were you with there?
Yes, I was F Battery, Royal Horse Artillery.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so how long were you there?
Well, I went home again and landed again in England on, I can't give the exact date, but anyway, it was in the February of
39.
Mm-hmm. When my original service broke down, but I didn't like Civvy Street and went straight back into the army again and went to Harrogate. When the being a regular soldier, I was training, by the way, training militia at Harrogate. I happened to be with the BEF and I went to France.
Yeah. What unit were you then?
Yes. In France, I was HQ 7, 2nd Div RA, and I was the driver to the CRA of HQ.
Oh, you'd abandoned the horses by that time.
Yeah, it was all finished horses. We were actually in India. We went from horses to mechanisation and back to horses all within 12 months. Mainly because we couldn't get the vehicles where we could get the horses.
The right kind of horses. Right kind of vehicles, yeah. I know. So you were, you went out to France and you came back through Dunkirk.
Yeah, I came back 3 days after the finish of the evacuation.
Oh, did you?
I got out with the skin of my teeth.
Aye.
There was the CRA,
yeah,
myself and the intelligence officer, and I'd been driving, by the way, in a German convoy for about 3 days, alongside, here, I got out. Anyway, we finally got out in a small boat and got picked up about 4 days after the evacuation.
Good God.
Three or four days after that, is it?
You joined in the German convoy, had you?
Yeah, we kept our lights on with them and nobody picked us up. We were just lucky. Anyway, I got back to England and I got posted to Harrogate. Pocklington, I'm sorry. Pocklington.
Yeah.
And from Pocklington I went straight out with the BEF to India. Malaya.
Yeah.
Where I became anti-tank, the 2nd 80th 11th Division of the 11th Division.
Yes. Was that an Indian division?
Indian division. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, where were you when war broke out?
Originally, I was in France when war broke out.
No, I mean the.
I was in Singapore.
You.
No. Oshis, a place called. Oshis was.
Yeah.
In France. Cotebrew. I was on there initial
end. And you've been there for some time.
Yeah, it was 74 days, actually, I think. And the old campaign took place.
Yes. But how long had you been at Cotebrew before the Japanese landed?
About 12 days. About 12 days.
And you remember them coming ashore?
Yes, very, very well. Very well. And I also remember, too, that... we wanted, that was the British, to go into Siam, and we forbidden because
Operation,
it was neutral.
Yeah. Operation Matador.
Yeah, we got wiped out, but we couldn't.
No.
And then, of course, it was just, as you know, 1 mile retreat on the right, it was 1 mile of Malaya.
Well, in this anti-tank
curve. What I wanted to ask you was this. What guns did you have in the anti-tank?
Yes, we had two-pounder anti-tank only.
Were they any good against the Japanese?
Well, I mean, at a place called Sanjibatani.
Yes.
We were supposed to open up at 700 yards, but we didn't. We waited till they were 70 yards, actually, and just from under the bridge at Sanjibatani. That was just on the border of Thailand, or Siam as we knew it then, and Malaya. And there was a body of three tanks coming down the road. We let go, and it was exactly 70 yards, and we split the whole three tanks in half. The one shell split them.
Okay.
But we found that our maps, which had been issued to us, by the way, printed in Japan, were useless. They showed a railroad and the main road. The Japanese maps, which we got out of their tanks, showed every rubber tree, how far down to dig for water, and tracks, which we never knew anything about.
So the 2-pounder, anyway, was quite effective.
Oh, yes, on their tanks.
Yeah.
Very much so.
It wasn't much good against German tanks.
No. That was a much heavier thing altogether.
Yes, these Japanese tanks weren't up to much anyway. It's just that we didn't have any in Malaya. Okay. So, anyway, I don't want to go through you fought your way back.
All the way back, yes.
Right. And then you went across the causeway and you were put somewhere in
Yes. I was actually an anti-tank gun. It was one of these great fun fairs, anyway.
Ah,
I mean, it was on a terrific on our cricket pitch, and we just waited there, and all we could do was nothing, really nothing, until anything arrived.
Yeah.
And anyway, we couldn't fire anything because when we finished in Singapore, we had, I think it was 21 shells left, 21 exactly. And we got the tip off, so we smashed all our telescopic sights. We smashed them. Then we put a shell down the barrel and one up the breech and let fire. What damage it did, I really don't know.
Yeah. So it's a bit really.
Well, we hope it did.
What did you do? Tie a bit of string on it?
No, we fired it from where it was. With a lanyard. With a lanyard.
Yeah. Well away.
Yeah.
So then. The Japanese, after a day or two, turned up. You were told to go to Changi.
They turned up, yes. Actually, they turned up about, less than 24 hours afterwards.
Yeah.
And we was all assembled, and we had to march out to Changi.
Yeah, yeah. And with basically what you could carry.
Yes, and that was very little. Actually, it was a lot more.
So, now up to this time, you've never met Toosey, or you didn't know?
I never met Toosey until I was at Tamarkan.
Yes, okay. Because Toosey, of course, he was with the 18th Division.
The 18th Division, which only landed a few days before the evacuation.
Yeah, but Toosey, in fact, was in the advance guard, and he had about 3 weeks, actually, in Malaya.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and then he'd a lot of fighting on Singapore Island.
That's correct,
Anyway, when you went to Changi, you went with your own unit.
Well, yes, that was right. That was the 2nd 80th Anti-Tank. Yes. And under command of Roberts.
Oh, yes. Major Roberts. Major Roberts,
yes.
That's right. And after you'd been there for, 3 months or so?
It was February. It was March when we went up north.
Oh, I see. In March. So you're only there for 6 or 8 weeks?
Yeah, well, I didn't see much of Changi at all. No. We went up with the advance party.
So you didn't do any work in Singapore or anything?
No,
like that?
I didn't.
You didn't go to Bukit Timah or?
No.
You just?
No, all I did was fiddle.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
So you from Changi, did you have to walk to Singapore station, or they take you in a lorry?
Well, we took a lorry to the station at Singapore.
Right, okay. And then they put you in cattle trucks?
That was correct. Still one, so that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And you, was Major Roberts still in charge?
Yep.
And they took you up to Bampong.
That's correct.
Yeah. And then what, at Bampong you got off? Did you spend the night there?
Yes, we did spend one night there, yes, in the open.
In a very poor kind of transit camp, very wet.
Yes, you was your lightning water.
Yeah. And then what happened? Did you have to walk?
We walked from there, or in stages actually, to Nong Padut, was it?
To Nong Padut, yeah.
Yeah, there, Nong Padut. And after I'd worked at Nong Padut for quite a while, just digging and shoveling and carrying.
Oh, I see. So you had some time at Nong Padut?
Oh, that's another one, yes. I had quite a bit of time at Nong Padut.
Yeah.
And then we went up.
This is still with Major Roberts
and Major Roberts, yes. And I'm trying to. Colonel Napier was the boss, a bloke in charge. Colonel Napier, old Napier,
yeah. Okay. And then from there, after you'd been there, 3 months, something like that, say about August.
It would be about August, yes.
Then you went up to Tamarkan.
No. Kanchanaburi first.
Kanchanaburi first. Yeah.
And then to Tamarkan.
Yeah.
But we were building all the way, shoveling, digging and making a track.
I see.
And when we got to Tamarkan, we had no cover whatsoever.
No.
And then we managed to get three, I think it was, no more than covers for tents.
Yeah.
Which we lived under for quite a long period.
Right.
And during that early stage at Tamarkan, all we were doing was carrying teak logs across our necks. We'll just stockpiling all the time. Until the bridge proper, the wooden bridge, started to be built.
So you were and were you building the camp?
I was helped to build the camp a little while. Too much on the camp itself.
No.
Not going to do it on the Labour Party.
Okay.
The camp building, by the way, was supposed to be for soft numbers.
Right.
Big Burma. So, around about September, that would be 1942.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is.
Toosey arrived.
That's correct.
With a lot of additional troops.
That's correct.
And he relieved Major Roberts.
That is right.
Okay.
He took over camp command of British.
Yes. And Tamarkan camp then became the base for building the wooden bridge and later the steel and concrete one.
Yeah, that is great. I'm not quite certain on this point, but I'm pretty sure the wooden bridge was... Here, hang it up now. The wooden bridge was nearly completed when he arrived in the September.
I see.
And so, these were Japanese engineers were instructing the working parties what to do.
Ordering them.
Okay. And it's true to say that you were just used as labour.
Slave labour.
Yeah. And the expertise was provided entirely by the Japanese.
That is correct, yes, that is correct.
Okay. So they built this wooden bridge, and then
started on the
steel.
That is correct.
Bridge.
Steel and concrete. Yes.
Yes. And while as soon as the wooden bridge was built, the train started going across.
No, only to Chiang Kai.
I see.
To Wang Min.
Yes. Yes. But it could be used.
Oh yes. Yes. Yeah. It was used. Yes.
Yeah. And the work consisted of building these embankments up to the line,
yeah,
up to the bridge,
yes, correct,
and at the far end, and also driving in piles to
that was all done with the hauling of great weight up,
yes, and
manpower,
yes,
itching yes. The Osayo back,
yes, yes, and as far as the concrete piers were concerned, these were built in sections and sunk.
That is correct. Yes.
Yes. And then you were telling me that one of your jobs, or perhaps your main job, was to put on a kind of basic diving helmet.
Yeah, old-fashioned.
Was it like the old copper type?
It was a whole... all it was like a fire scuttle, and it went over your head.
Yes.
And there was a breathing tube attached to it. But the whole thing was... When you were down in the water, you mustn't lean forward or backwards because the water got in.
Yes, it was only the vacuum. The air.
Yeah, that wet it down.
Yeah. Yeah. So you couldn't see what you were doing?
No, you couldn't know. We went down the base all the time. It was pulling in the sand and digging out the rock to the centre. And then we would load the bucket to be hauled up.
Now how many men were down at one time?
In each pile, three.
I see. And your pals up on the top kept pumping air too.
Yeah, and we did insist that it was only our own ropes pumped the air to us. Yeah. Pretty old-fashioned stuff we used.
Yeah, you couldn't trust.
We wouldn't trust them.
No, no.
Did they do it by hand?
They did it by hand. It was a big wheel.
Oh.
They're like an old copper mangle.
I know. Yeah. And they kept that turning, and so you were...
We got air, yeah.
How long were your shifts?
They vary. Yeah. It could be from 5 o'clock in the morning and it right through until 7 at night. Mm. Mind you, we did come up every hour.
Yes.
For about 4 minutes.
Ah.
That was all.
And you pulled up on rope?
We climbed up on a ladder.
Ah.
We must put it up.
And were you warm enough?
Not always. Not always, no. Damn cold.
Yes. What did you wear?
Nothing. Only our shorts. Because that's the only clothes we were permitted.
And you were just working in blackness?
Yeah, in complete darkness, no light of any sort.
And so you had a big long shovel?
We had scoops and shovels. Very similar to the English instruments trencher tool.
I know.
But the whole thing was, we did get extra rations.
Yeah.
A bowl of rice.
And on that time, you were reasonably fit.
I was very fortunate. I was very fit, actually.
Sounds a terrible job to me, but never mind. You and... Were there always volunteers for this job?
No. Some got forced, but I volunteered myself.
Yeah, and you were able to cope with it.
Yeah, I coped because I wanted something to eat, and that was it.
Yeah.
And the other thing was you got in a sort of... in a position where you could do a little fiddling.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, when you got away, they didn't watch you too much and you could...
Oh, I see.
Help yourself to the stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then you went... this was your job all the time you were there?
All the time I was there, yes.
Yeah. And you remember Toosey coming?
I remember Toosey coming, and I remember the difference of different working conditions.
Mm.
Toosey was a man who somehow was able to cope with the Japs.
Yes.
If things got too tough, he would even step down and do the job for you and help.
Mm.
And it shamed the Japs, you might say, to come in his way.
Aye, aye. And were you beaten up on occasion?
Yes. Yes. I got in a terrible state one time for only in a pair of boots, which I shouldn't have had. And I admit I got them on a fiddle too.
Yes.
I got beaten up, and I wasn't able to walk straight out. This is true, I'm telling you.
I used to have to hold my hands by my ankles and lift my feet forward. I got beaten up that badly.
Did Toosey know about this?
Yes, he knew, but he couldn't do much about that. That was my own affair. Because, see, he didn't know it was me that was pinching the telephones from the actual trains that went up and put them into the Japanese, Arab, Siamese.
I see. Buying food and so on.
No, I met a couple of, underground way, of Siamese military people, actually. And I was pinching all the telephones off the railway trains and flogging them. Well, I used to get something for them.
Yes.
To the...
to the ties.
Yeah.
And then you could buy a bit of food. With
yeah, the and you know, we distributed. They all went down by the hospital.
I see.
And they died in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very good. So, can you remember Toosey being beaten up on occasion?
Yes, I do. I do remember Toosey being beaten up twice, actually. And they were both at Tamarkan. By beaten up, I mean really clouted.
Yes.
Really hard. And I've seen him have to stand all day in the sun, looking up at the sun. He was a wonderful man.
And the troops, by and large, they felt this about him, that he was...
Toosey was the man. I don't think there was ever any troop that would have said a word against Toosey.
No, this has been... I can't find anyone.
No, I don't think... I doubt it would be hard to.
So, and the working conditions, though they were hard, you've got your rations fairly regularly.
If you like to call them rations,
so
yes.
Yes,
you would get a bottle of ice in the morning and any bit of green leaf you could stew up. If you could get a cat or dog naturally on the quiet, that was stewed too.
And fruit, you got a bit of few bananas, did you?
Well, I never saw any issued myself. They were bought from a fund which we all contributed to.
Yeah.
And same with the duck eggs we all contributed to.
Yes.
I think we used to get 10 cents a day if we worked hard.
And that would, if you were lucky, buy a couple of duck eggs a week. Is that the sort
of... out of your money. Yes.
And that was really the best thing you could do with your money.
Funny enough, in Thailand, or Siam as I know it, you could get hundreds of duck eggs.
But you could only afford
to buy.
About two a week, something like that. Yeah, at the rate of exchange.
Yeah.
Did you see Boon Pong at all at this time?
Yes, I met him first at Wampo, I think it was.
Further up.
Wampo, yes, yes. North.
He was concerned with Tamarkan, but perhaps you hadn't.
Tarsal was another place I met him too.
Right.
No, at Tamarkan, no, because I was out too much.
You were underwater.
I knew of him, but I didn't know about him. I never met him myself.
But you were aware that the camp, as far as you were concerned, was a well-run affair, and
under the circumstances, it was run very well.
Yeah.
Very, very well. Toosey, though, he was the man that made it. There was no doubt about it.
Did you have any elderly officers there who didn't pull their weight? Were there a few?
I wouldn't mention any names.
Not names.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. You see, one of the things you have to bear in mind about Toosey was that he wasn't always the senior officer.
No, that's quite right, too.
But he always took control.
Yeah.
Because other people were quite happy to let him get on with it.
I think it was a Tamarkan, actually, where we got... I don't know what I should say.
No, it's all right.
Some Dutch officers from Java.
Yes.
And they was as pro bloody nasty as you could make them, and they did everything they could for the Japs.
And they were Jap happy.
Yeah, that's it, it's correct.
Yeah.
I said that near one day, my God, I don't know.
I know. And later on, in fact, at Canterbury Officers' Camp, there was a bit of a kerfuffle
with
the Australian officers, but because of seniority and so on. But in the end, Toosey took charge.
Yeah, oh, you must. Yeah, he was anything he could.
He would have a go. Now, he said to me many times that he just did his best. He didn't make any claims. And he said there were a number of other people, Colonel Knights and Colonel Lilly, who he said were very, very good commanders.
That was correct.
You know. But he just said he did his best. But I got the impression, talking to
him, was the man
that he was
the lot.
Yes, yes.
You were the lot.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me go and just ask you a bit more of your career. You, when you finished this job, where did you moved eventually from Chiang
Kai? Yes, I went up through Chiang Kai and mainly went to Wampai when I was on the bridge building there.
So you were a glutton for punishment?
Oh, yes, I had to take it. I did come back from Wampai to Chiang Kai and I was there 3 days.
Yeah.
And that was enough. I volunteered to go out on another working party.
You preferred to work?
Well, yes, because we had a certain number of officers who didn't help us in any way.
Yes. So
they did, you broke the fence and went out and did a bit of conniving. Okay, they had you in themselves. That would have been good to me.
No, that was a Chiang Kai.
Yeah, Chiang Kai in particular. Oh, that was a solid place. Yeah. I lasted you, 3 days there.
So you got out and you went. Okay.
Another working party. I went down south, but I couldn't tell the name of the place. It was on another bridge too.
In Thailand.
Yeah, in Thailand. Yes, it was another bridge. It was south.
Right.
And I'll never forget. Because I met the same bloke again in England. We got bombed by the Yanks. We was on the bridge, and I never forget everybody running. But I dived off the bridge to get a pub. I never forget this fellow. And I met him in London, running up afterwards. The same bloke I pulled out the bloody water after I'd gone a long, long way.
Yeah.
But I can't think of the name of that place.
No, never mind. That will come to you. You, when you get a transcript of this, you know, might remind you. So you were doing that, and then were you still in that area when the war ended?
I was in south, yes, just south. There wasn't the airdrome where we pulled out from when we got rescued. It was somewhere near Bangkok.
Nakhon Platong.
That's the main place. Yes.
It was a very
we weren't too far from there.
Yes, I know. Did you see the big temple? The gold was a gold.
No, I never saw it myself. I can't remember.
Well, that's a lot of camps.
You're on 68 now, nearly. Or 67 now, I'm getting on.
But, so you were there when the war ended?
Yes. I can tell you that. Yes, because I've got a hell of a beating up for getting an invoice book to use the paper for cigarettes. Got a hell of a beating up. They promised there was a lot of us in this cart over this. The local prince newspaper would come forward, nothing would be done, and they didn't, so I thought, well, I better step forward. And all I wore for clothes was a sock break down me, and then I had to hold my head, this bloody invoice book. And so I stepped forward and said, yes, I got it. Another terrific hiding over this. And I never forget going back to the particular camp we was in. It was the back of what do you call these monks?
Buddhist
monastery. And we went through, and a Chinese put a big packet up, the atomic bomb had been dropped. I never forget that.
Yeah. For the blood order.
A big sheet, on a sheet of it. That the this is atomic bomb. Well, we didn't know what an atomic bomb was, and of course, naturally.
No.
And it was all over within a 2 seconds. You might say after that, we were whipped off to this place where we had to go to that camp you mentioned where we had
to go to
Nakhon Platong. And the railway was quite a few miles from the camp.
Yeah.
And I remember walking through. It was a long, long, long walk. And I also remember we were supposed to be staying the night on the embankment of the railway. And all of a sudden, a British officer and a parachutist appeared. And they controlled the jet like that. There's two of them. It was terrific.
Was there any paying of scores with the Japanese when the war ended?
Not so much with the British, no. I don't think so. There was one or two little bits went on with the Aussies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.